What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Adam Hood. How are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Good. I tell you what, there are some artists, some songwriters that I just kick myself because I haven't gotten into them sooner, and you're one of them, man, I gotta say. And it's good to finally talk to you, man. And I guess let's just start off with what you've been up to lately. Been busy. I know the year kicked off with shows, studio work, anything like that?
Yeah, we've got, I feel like, I just told my manager earlier, I said, I feel like I've kind of overcommitted my February, which is, I guess, a good thing to have. But yeah, we've got a single coming out this Friday, which is Valentine's Day. Brent mm-hmm. Cobb and I have a single coming out together. And then we're just touring to support that kind of stuff, you know? So just staying on the road, putting singles out, doing what we're doing, trying to keep our head above water.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to get to that single here in a bit. But before cool. that, I'd like to talk to you about your last single, Beat That Train, that came out around, I think it was in August, wasn't it?
Right.
I just wanted to talk to you a bit about that. First off, I guess the simple question would be the story behind it. Was there anything, like any themes or any message you wanted to get across with that?
Sadly, you know, it's funny because I feel like that the songs deserve more of a story than I give them sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, honestly, I wrote that song with Cleta Cordero from the Flatland Cavalry. Mm-hmm. And we wrote it, I guess it was 2 or 3 years ago. We had played a friend of mine's, actually a friend of mine's kid had a birthday party and the bus was for playing that show. and we hung out in Dallas the next day and he and I wrote that song. And yeah, that's really about it. You know, I mean, I feel like as far as context goes in all my tunes, it's almost like it's gotten to where I want it to be positive perspective on whatever the scenario may be. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I don't know. I you know, I don't want to be Mr. Sunshine or anything like that, but you know, I'm kind of to that point where I never wrote beer drinking songs ever. You know what yeah. I mean? And so like, the, you know, the, I don't know, I got to come context from somewhere. And, I've written too many songs about being on the road, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's kind of you can only write so many and there's a certain demographic that people that just don't get on the road so much, they can't really relate to songs like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think everybody can relate to learn how to think positively. So yeah, that's really about it. I mean, no real message to convey. I don't feel like I have to preach it to anybody or tell anybody how to think or anything like that, more than just really just try to explain how I feel. And, there's no underlying agenda when it comes to that. It's pretty, I hope it's pretty evident. You know what yeah. I mean? I hope the lyrics of my songs are like, well, okay, you don't have to really set that up all that much. We get it now, you know?
Right, for sure. And a couple weeks ago, I had Mickey Braun on here, and yeah. we were talking a bit about like songwriting and everything. And he said that kind of like as you, you know, of course, as you get older and progress through your career, your songwriting, I guess, either you could say evolves or just progresses to like other areas you want to talk about. And I mean, that does seem like, you know, the obvious process to happen. Do you find that happen like pretty evident or do you not really notice it that much?
I feel like it's been kind of a consistent progression for me. You know what I mean? I mean, yes, there has been a time when I've just woken up and said, okay, I don't want to write these songs anymore, but not necessarily. I mean, you know, I mean, I feel like that happens once a month. You know what I mean? I get up and I say, I don't want to do this anymore. Just because, it's not because I don't like my job. It's just because, you know, sometimes you sort of feel like, does anybody really want to hear this crap? You know what I mean? And I know that's a pessimistic way of looking at things. But that's why I write all these songs about being positive. So that I yeah. learn how to be positive.
Right.
Yeah, but Nikki's right. I mean, you know, that's kind of the way it was. And I'm kind of, nowadays, it's interesting because I think to myself, I should write a song about that. And it's like, oh, well, I've already got one of those. And I think, oh, well, I should write a song about that. Oh, I've already got one of those. You know what I mean? So I've almost worked myself out of a job.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, how do you, I guess, because you've written many songs, and if I'm not wrong, for a lot of other people too, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So I guess the first question I should ask is, how do you keep yourself fresh, your creative process fresh? And, I guess not get burnt out maybe, or like just mm-hmm. being able to keep a fresh mind, which with each time you go into the writer's room or whatever.
It's other people. I mean, honestly, the work that I do with other people is the reason why I can stay productive and keep it exciting. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you know, because again, you know, you just, we all start out by ourselves. You know what I mean? When you're a songwriter, like you always, and there's plenty of people that don't write songs with other people at all, you know, and, but I've kind of started to lean on those folks. And just because of the fact that, like, you know, I mean, there are days when I just don't have anything to say, but I'm still a songwriter. I can still do what I do, regardless of whether I have anything to say. So it's nice to have other people that go, well, I had this idea, and I can say, oh, wow, that's a great idea. Or, you know, somebody comes in with this musical idea and they say, well, I got these chords, and I think, oh, well, I wrote some lines down last month that would be perfect for this. You know what I mean? So it's really other people. That's co-writers and stuff like that. That's really what's kept me really stimulated and interested in doing it still, you know?
Yeah. And songwriting to me is just so fascinating, like just to the bare bones of it, because I mean, it's just not easy to do from like just, you know, a casual fan of music. And when you write a song for yourself, and then if you go in and write with another person, is there like a line there to where you do like, this is what we're going to do differently if we write with so-and-so, this is what I do differently when I write for myself? Are there any like rules or any changes that you do when you change like that?
I think it's more of a style thing than it is really a content thing. You know what I'm saying? Like there's, you know, there are things that I do well and there are things that I can't pull off. You know what I mean? And so inside of that, and you know, you kind of go look at my body of work and you can see like the years that Brent and I have started working together, Bad Days Better was the record that he started actually. I mean, he produced that record. Yep. And then he did Bad Days Better and then the last, what, four singles? Yeah, pretty much, you know? And so there's a style that, and honestly, that's kind of why Brent and I kind of work together the way we do, because he understands what I'm trying to go for. He understands the style that suits me without me having to do it. Cause you just kind of can't, I feel like you don't have the correct perspective from the inside. You know what I mean? Like, I know how I want my stuff to sound, but I don't know how to get my stuff to sound like that. You know what I mean? So, and that's, you know, I think that's probably just my mortality, but, yeah, that's the thing. So, I mean, as far as, you know, my stuff as opposed to someone else's, stylistically, that's probably the big difference. I'm a more rootsy singer. You know, I just kind of do older kind of country stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so, but that's not all I can write, you know, and there's male and female perspectives on things, you know, I mean, so yeah, it's really all dependent on the person that you're writing with.
Yeah. So when did you and Brent like get close to be like partners in writing and everything? How'd that all happen?
So I came to Nashville to write for Carnival Music. Well, I say I came to Nashville. I got signed working for Carnival. That was 2010, maybe 2011. It was 2010. Okay, so I had been at Carnival for a year, and they had just signed Brent, and so I was one of the first people that he wrote with when he came to Carnival, and we hit it off. I mean, you know, I realized he was from about 2.5 hours east of where I grew up, you know, we just kind of, you know, we figured we may be related. You know what I mean? That's the kind of the joke he makes. He thinks that's funny. But but yeah, I mean, that's just, we met there and we started writing and we hit it off. The first song we ever wrote was a song called Go Outside and Dance. I think it got cut pretty quick. And then we just started doing it all the time, you know, I mean, and it's kind of the same thing with him. Like, you know, when we met, he lived in Nashville. I never have, but I'm close enough to Nashville to where, like, it's never been more than a 5-hour drive, basically, you know. And so, but also, you know, with him not living there now, or not living here, I'm in Nashville right now, but we're able to kind of coordinate times and stuff like that a little bit better. So it just kind of always wound up that way. You know what I mean? Like we've just been in a lot of similar scenarios and environments to where we've written together a lot, but Carnival is where we started, but that's where I met him. And that's where we started writing together.
Yeah. He's also very talented. I didn't know that you two were wrote that much together. I was
yeah, a lot.
Yeah. That's awesome. Another thing I noticed is that I have heard from many different artists, like whenever I ask them about like their songwriting or influences, I guess your name does get thrown around a lot when it comes to
that's
people.
Nice.
That, like, yeah. And, but the interesting thing is that it's from people from Nashville, from Texas, from Oklahoma. And I do see you grouped a lot with like the Red Dirt scene, maybe some Texas music. Is there a scene, I guess, that you would like, if you had to group yourself in, or like, do you find more of a market, I guess, with like, when like you compare like Nashville, Texas, anything like that? Or is it just a big open book to you?
It all serves a purpose. You know what I mean? Like they're all kind of, you know, Nashville is a part of my life because I write here. You know, Alabama and the Southeast is a part of my life because I grew up there. Texas is a part of my life, and the scene in Texas is a part of my life because I play there. You know what I mean? So the areas are sort of separated for me, which is, it's not by design by any means. You can't make those things happen, you know, but at the same time, you know, it works. I think it works well for me that way. It's a little bit more effort just to sort of be, you know, kind of geographically spread a little thin, but that's okay. I mean, you know, it's part of life, I guess. You know, if I didn't have to, I mean, I'd still work the same hours, I'm sure, if I didn't have to travel for a living or, you know, whatever. I don't know. But yeah, so, and that's kind of the way that, like, I don't, because of the fact that they all three, and just the touring thing, you know, just they all serve a different purpose. I don't have to choose, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no one I prefer better than the other. They all have the pros and cons, you know? So, I mean, my wife and I think we've kind of found as close to a balance that way as we can, you know?
Yeah, right on, man. And I bring in Mickey up again, but he did raise a lot of really cool songwriting, you know, aspects I haven't thought about.
Yeah.
And one of them is when you're writing, he put it, and I'm going to try and get this right, I don't want to butcher it, but you have the aspect of like your authentic self, what you want to write from within, right? And then you have the other aspect when you got to think of like, mostly with like radio play and stuff, so like the commercial aspect. Can you kind of explain that, you know, wrestling between those or your personal experiences, like if you ever really had to really sit there and think, okay, I gotta aim this to a more commercial approach, or if it's even an effect on you?
I don't know that I've had enough commercial success to actually determine it, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, with Mickey, the cool thing is about him, you know, he and I, for as long as I've been in Texas, he and I have kind of really gotten to know each other more recently than anything. You know, his daughter Hattie and my youngest daughter Edie are about like a month apart. You know what I mean? And so like we were the two guys at Steamboat that had babies one year. You know what I mean? So we kind of hit it off from that. And you know, the thing is with him, like, you know, Mickey's had a kid. You know what I mean? And so there's a whole different level that he understands that I've never been there. You know what I mean? Like it's not really, and I know it was, you know, just as much luck and opportunity as it was anything, you know, for Mickey. I don't think he really did anything other than just be cool to, you know, and write a great song than to make that happen. And so, you know, the beauty in that is that anything can come true at any time for anybody, you know. But also, it's also one of those things to where with me, I've never aimed for that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so because of that, I'm a great second verse writer. I'm a great B-side writer. Like those are the things that I really enjoy. And so there's definitely a different approach, and you really kind of have to look at it from a perspective of like, you know, just don't point it so directly in one direction. You know what I mean? Which is a good thing because, you know, that's not dumbing anything down. It's actually, you know, great songs are great because they're great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like it's not, you know, Strawberry Wine's not an idiot song. It's a song everybody knows, you know, and for a great reason. That's just, I'm just coming to something off the top of my head, you know?
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, you just kind of really have to sort of think about it, but not. You know what I mean?
That's what I was about to. Yeah, I was about to say it's probably easier. Man.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
That's basically what I was about to say next. It's probably easier not to think about it more than anything, right? Just to let it flow and what happens after.
Yes. I think if you plan on it, you'll worry yourself to death.
Yeah.
I think if you really tell yourself, I'm going to write a hit, I think, you know, shoot, man. I mean, I tell myself every time I'm going to write a hit. You know what I mean? But the song does what it does. It turns out the way it turns out. And then then there's the process of kind of revising it until you're happy with it. And you hope, you know, either my mantra has always been, if nobody else will record it, I will, you know, otherwise what's the point in writing it, you know?
Right. Another thing I'm curious about is since you started to now, right, in your career, like, and plus you're like, when you're in Nashville, you're in the heart of like the whole industry thing, right? The industry giant. Yeah. And
right.
I guess not so much on the like the business side of it, but just songwriting trends, I guess, or ways to write songs. Have you noticed any big differences from when you started or even just moved there? Like, I mean, you said 2010, I think I'm sure it's changed even since then, just like when it comes to anything in general, really, if there's any big changes.
Yeah. There's a lot fewer songwriters than there were, you know. Okay. I mean, and just because of the fact that, like, I don't mean to say fewer songwriters. There's still just as many songwriters out there. It's just kind of harder to do it as a job these days. Mm. And that's cool. You know, I mean, it's not cool, but I feel like that everybody is kind of learning how to best adapt and adjust and do what's best for them. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's things about it that I don't like, you know, I mean, there's a difference in, you know, where your ownership lies and stuff like that. And I don't want to get too technical about it because that kind of crap doesn't make any sense to anybody, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of things that have changed as far as like just, you know, being in the business of songwriting. And I don't know. It's interesting. It really is. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I sort of feel like that I live in this from an outsider's perspective because of the fact that I really, you know, again, I'm not up here, you know, doing this 3-5 days a week, paying my taxes here. You know what I mean? Like I'm able to kind of spread a little time, between all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. And like, even what about the standpoint of like, obviously social media is huge now and being able to maybe reach other artists that way. Has that been a plus? Social media obviously has many negatives for sure. There's no denying that, but in that aspect, when it comes to maybe networking or like meeting or getting in touch with someone you want to pitch a song to, something like that, has that really helped out a lot?
I think, you know, if you, as far as social media goes, if you can keep it manageable, like I feel like we sort of keep, I'm able to manage social media. There's a lot of things I can't do and there's a lot of things I don't know how to do with social media. But at the same time, like, you know, I know how to do the things that make the world go around to me. You know what I mean? And, and it's, you know, just kind of telling people where I'm playing, communicating with people. Yeah. And that's the best part about social media. It really does. Like, I'm able to sort of stay engaged with people that come to my shows because of social media. And I'm able to put songs out there because of social media, you know, and there's just ways to promote yourself and get to know other people that you just, that before this was, before this was an entity, you know, I remember life before internet, all this stuff, you know? So, but it's pretty valuable. You know, it can be consuming. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It can be consuming, but it all can be consuming, you know, and it's just a matter of really, like I said, just finding the balance and you know, but for me, I think we keep it manageable. I think we keep everything with our world organic and it makes sense. And my kids are welcome here and your kids are welcome here. And, you know, this is what we're doing this week. I got a song. I think you'll like it. Hey, we're going to be on the road doing this. Hey, guess what? I'm off this week because we're going to do it. This weekend's Valentine's weekend. I'm not playing this weekend. I'm going to a cheerleading convention. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's the kind of crap, you know, but that's the thing. Like that's organic. I don't have to make that kind of stuff up. You know, it's just my life. And the people that find that interesting, they find that interesting. And if people don't, that's okay. Nobody's mad at them for not, you know? So if you can just use it like that normal in real life, then yeah, I think it's very beneficial. It's been very beneficial to me. I mean, it's really cool to kind of go to when I play shows, you know, to see people come out and I talk to them and then they go, hey, my name is so and so, this is my handle, and these are people that, like, they comment on my pages and things I post all the time, and it's neat to meet those people in real life,
Yeah, for sure. And that, as much like as great as that is, it's, and I'm mostly just kind of wondering what you're, if you've witnessed any of this, is you got all these artists who have blown up on like TikTok, Instagram, right? Who are now like massive, right? And do you feel like, of course, that's good, at face value, but like being thrown into something that big, like once you're get that popular, like one song, isn't art, like sometimes the artists aren't ready for that and maybe would have like a more negative impact on their career, to maybe they get washed out, something like that. Is that, does that make any sense?
I don't know that I've ever noticed it like that, but at the same time, like, I'm really kind of like, I can't think of anybody that off the top of my head that I think has had stardom or success that has squandered it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, no, nobody that I can think of. I mean, so far so good for everybody that I like. I mean, the Strays are a great example. I mean, like, this was a certain period of time where I opened for him in Mobile, and we played at Callahan's, and there was very few. It was a great crowd for Callahan's, but it's not who they're. I mean, they're a bigger band. Same thing. Ella's the same way. She's somebody that, there was a certain period of time she was here. She's here, and I mean, there's probably half a dozen other people that I can think of like that. But I don't feel like that they're being poor stewards of it. You know what I mean? I feel like they're kind of handling it pretty well. I mean, Ella seems to be doing fine. The Strays are doing good. I think that's kind of the beauty in it nowadays, just because of the fact that, like, it's almost like that this way of doing things has kind of given the artist the presence that they won't. You know what I mean? Nobody's having to create this role and insert someone in it. These people are inserting themselves into it, and folks are just responding in a positive way or a negative way to their music. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
they're
And
more in
so,
control, I guess.
yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's certainly in control enough of themselves to where they don't have to feel like that they're not doing their art a serve a good service. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I didn't think of it that way.
So, and because of that, I feel like, again, the folks I've seen, and I just, like I said, I just can't think of anybody off the top of my head that's just not doing a good job with it. I'm sure they're out there. I mean, but it may be me. I may be the guy not doing a good job with it, but
Well, no, that's a, I haven't thought of it that way, but anyway, let's talk about your single coming out Friday, right? This Friday? Okay, yeah, Four on the Floor, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
I guess what can you tell us about it? What can we expect from it?
This is this is one of the first songs that Brent and Jason Sands and I wrote this song. And so we were the three of us. We wrote Grandpa's Farm together, which was that song's been, a lot of people cut that song. And then a couple of other tunes, like Jason, the three of us had written together a lot from 2011, 12, 13, 14, like, it's pretty much a lot of the stuff that became my Shape of Things record, that kind of stuff. So this is one of the songs out of that pile. And yeah, I mean, we just kind of had, we made Bad Days Better down at Capricorn Studios in Macon, Georgia, and that's gone really well. And Brent has really sort of, I think he works well out of that studio, and has kind of found his little niche in that area, and it's close to home for him. And the players are great. And we just I've gotten in there with him a couple of times, and we've just knocked out some recordings, and this is one of them. I think it went really well. I think it's different, just, but it's nice to have something that the two of us are doing together. We've kind of always talked about these kind of things, and you just want to take things one step at a time. But I think it's a cool song. It's it, it you know it's it'll be neat. I'm curious to see how people respond to it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw like the little clips and everything on your Instagram and everything. And I'm looking forward to it, man. It sounds like a killer song. And
Thank you.
also with when it comes to releasing, this is me just being ignorant to how it works, but when it comes to releasing singles, albums, whatever, is there a certain cycle to that, like how many months or how many years even to when you would release something? And or does it like change per artist? I've seen different with all artists, obviously, but is there like a blueprint to that, at least in your mind?
Man, that's a good question. I do feel like there is a blueprint. I mean, there's definitely a pace that the algorithm has set. Yes, mm-hmm. Correct. You know, there's also a pace that each of us works at. You know what I mean? And so, the trick is to sort of find where you can jive and still keep your own pace. I mean, that's been an adjustment, and it's been an adjustment just because, you know, I mean, I haven't really gone into the studio with the intention of working on an album in a while, you know. Mm-hmm. It's always just been singles, which it's kind of cool because of the fact that, like, when we put records out, I would have 10, 11, 12 songs, and, you know, we would, you know, make six focus tracks. And by the time you do that, and you put the album out, six of them just go unnoticed, you know? I mean, yep. And so it's nice to be able to, and they really, I mean, when I say they go unnoticed, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like nobody listens to them, period. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And so it's kind of alternate to how I've always wanted to do things. You know, I wanted to have these songs kind of out in the world, just in the ether floating around, and certain writers or artists go grab them. They go, you know, just kind of like, I always sort of thought that that's how the John Hyatts of the world worked. And I'm sure it's way, way more pointed than that. But, like, you know, the songs that other people recorded were kind of their B-sides. I don't know that any of that's true. I just know that when I was 17, that was kind of how I looked at it in my head. Mm. But you know, those songs really go unheard. And so it just got to the point where I was like, I don't want these songs to go unnoticed. I'd rather just put them out one at a time. Yep. And have each song, whether it's, you know, you got four weeks for one song to shine. One song shines a lot brighter in 4 weeks time. And I mean, it better be good, you know, mm-hmm. but if I wasn't proud of it, I wouldn't put it out.
Yeah. And it's really interesting how that works. Cause like when, like that had to have been an adjustment, or was it any different at all? I guess, like from before streaming takes over to before that, when you just had, you know, like CDs and everything, was that a big adjustment to switch into? I've always wondered when you have, like, I don't know. I don't really know what to say upon that. But, like, just, it seems like adjusting to the new streaming age, having to put singles out this time and then next, this time. I don't know. It seems stressful, I guess, to put it simply.
It was just really abrupt, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. like, there was one day we were selling CDs and then we just quit. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, like it was Thursday, we sold 10 CDs. Friday, we didn't sell any, and we haven't sold any all year. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, granted, you know, I feel like having said that in the past few months, I mean, people still buy CDs, but it is very, very rare. Yeah. I have more CDs than I sell. I guarantee you that. I got way more CDs than I sell. Yeah. So, you know, that's been an interesting adjustment. It hasn't been hard to adjust. I mean, honestly, to tell you the truth, you know, we know not to order any more CDs, you know, mm-hmm. so we're not going to waste our money doing that. If you want a CD, I got plenty of old ones that you can, you know, I'll sell those to you cheap, but I'm not making any more. Not for now.
Yeah.
That's been an interesting adjustment. Other than that, everything's been fine. I mean, it's, you know, it's easier and more affordable to go cut four songs than you and that you know are going to last you a year than to cut 12 that you know aren't going to last you 6 months. You know, I mean, right. that's really kind of, I mean, I hate it, dude. I'm an album guy, but that's, I mean, the album cycle has turned into that. You know, you can make an album, but you're going to put out 4 to 6 singles leading up to it. Then on the album release, that's it. There's nothing else on that album gets heard. Maybe one or two more tracks, but they're wanting to know what you got up the pipe, you know? It's a whole lot easier to do it singles wise, you know?
Yeah. And that's definitely true in the MO nowadays, but there is that, I'm a big physical media nerd, so maybe it's just me, but I feel like the vinyl is making a bit of a comeback, especially in the last few years. And I guess I should have done my research on this, maybe checked out your merch or something, but have you ever dove into the vinyl or wanted to look into that?
Yeah. Okay. I got four albums on vinyl.
Okay, right on.
Yes. And so it's, the cool thing is about vinyl is the fact that, like, you don't have to, you don't have to have a record player to buy records. You know, I mean,
Right.
people, they kind of, they serve a dual purpose. It's just as much a poster as it is
Yeah.
a music format. You know what I mean? Like
Oh, yeah.
you can get it signed and frame it instead of listening to it. And
Yeah.
that's the beauty in it, you know? And that is kind of cool because it sort of takes it back to where like now album art is a thing, you know? And, when I was a kid, album art was a thing, you know? I mean, and yeah, I'll date myself. I remember, man, my uncle, my dad's brother, I would stay with my grandmother when I was a kid, and like this is like kindergarten, first grade, and I he picked we I went to kindergarten where he went to high school, if that makes any sense. Pretty redneck, I know, but he would take me home after school to my grandmother's house, and I would sit in his room, and I wouldn't listen to any of the music, but I would stare at those album covers, and because it was like Molly Hatchet and
Oh,
Kiss
yeah.
and things like that, like stuff that your nightmares were kind of made of. You know what
That
I mean? Like,
Flirting with Disaster album is probably the best album art of all time.
yeah, it's frightening. And you know, that's the thing. Like, you kind of look at those. It's funny because, like, you know, I think about those album covers, and then it's like that band. You know what I mean? Like, I thought these guys were like, I thought Molly Hatchet was death metal until I, and, you know what I mean? Just judging by the album covers, some of that stuff's frightening, man. And so, I remember that time. I remember those kind of things. And it's kind of neat to know that I'm not going to make any album artwork that scares my kids by any means. But, but nonetheless, it's cool that it's a visual, that's a visual thing that's come back now. And I like that. I think that's cool.
100%, man. But Adam, thanks for hopping on, dude. This was a lot of fun. And before we go, since it's only February, I feel like I could still ask this question. For
Oh.
the year 2025, yeah, it would be dumb if I asked this in like November. But for the year 2025, do you have any, I guess, goals for this year? Any certain things that you for sure want to accomplish, get done, anything like that?
I do have some intentions with the record, you know what I mean? And I think that this duet, for lack of a better term, with Brent, is a bit of a foreshadowing of what we want to do, you know,
Right
this
on.
coming up year. I'd like to do more of them. I got a lot of people that I write with and people that are friends of mine that are pretty talented, and I'd like to sort of call on them, you know, and do some things together and make some fun stuff like that happen, you know. And so that's kind of my intention. And you know, you never know where life and the Lord's going to take you in the in you know, in the year and with all the plans that we have. But at the same time, like that's something that I would work towards, you know, just sort of getting some others in the studio with me and see what we can come up with and put it out, see what folks think about it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was really cool when I went did a little deep dive on all your music and being able to go and see who you have both recorded with and wrote with. Like
Yeah,
it was
right.
really it was like kind of like a, oh damn, I knew that song and I didn't know. Like it was kind of a cool little, dots to connect
Yeah,
there. So,
that's
but
neat to be able to,
yeah.
it's neat, you know what I mean? I appreciate the fact that I'm able to do that, you know. It's a lot of fun, and it's kind of what I always wanted to do. Like, I always wanted to be a person that was known more for their songs than they were for their performance. And you know, I do, in thinking that way, I know I sell my potential short on stage, and I shouldn't do that. You know what I mean? I should be as into performing it as I am into writing it and creating it. I'm learning that, you know, that's one of those things that, like, you know, I feel like that I could get out of that headspace and try to be a little bit more creative artistically on stage. And but I don't know, man. The writing is a lot of fun, and it's really rewarding, and it's kind of the thing that I genuinely enjoy out of the aspects of being an artist. Like, I really enjoy the writing process. It's really gratifying. It's fun. I feel like I have a I, there's yeah I've created for myself a certain ability. You know what I mean? It just, like I said, I mean, you know, it's just these things that matter to nobody but me. But like, I like it. I enjoy it. And so, I'm glad to know that it translates, number one. And number two, I'm glad that anybody wants to write a song with me, because I love it. I mean, I'm all about it. I'll always try to give you my best foot forward, you know.
Right. Well, and it does show, like with the consistent, fresh new songs, whether you're like with someone or just your own stuff, man. It's really good shit. Like honestly,
Thank you
it's
for saying that.
yeah, absolutely. And
I really do appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. And before we head out real quick, if you have any plugs, anything to, obviously you have your song coming out on the 14th. This will come out after the 14th, unfortunately, okay. But
no worries.
Anything, any shows, anything coming up in the near future, floor is yours.
I mean, honestly, you know, there's always stuff happening. I wish I could think of, you know, some exciting stuff that we've got going on, but I can't see in front of me sometimes, but everything is available on my website. You can just go to adamhood.com and like all my socials are there. So you can find links to like, you know, all my, just, you know, my pages on Spotify and iTunes and all my social media accounts. And, you know, like you said, I mean, we have merch and tour dates and all that stuff. And so pretty much anything is available at adamhood.com. You can find whatever you need. So, yeah, I mean, I just say, you know, if any of it sounds interesting, then yeah, go digging.
Right on. You guys do that. And check out Adam, like you said, on the website, all the socials. Also, check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative, or just Google us. We'll show up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Adam, thanks for hopping on. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me, Sam. I appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely. And we'll see you guys next time. My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home tonight.